as well. Galatians chapter 3 in our Bibles, and I'll begin in verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Together in verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now that's a power-packed set of verses there. And I can, even as we're reading through it, I'm thinking of several different messages that we could be preaching about. Probably 3, 4, 5, 6 different messages. But we're looking primarily, I guess, verse 3 and then the surrounding verses. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect or complete, matured by the flesh? It wasn't planned this way. Maybe if I was better, I would plan better. I don't really plan my Sunday morning and Sunday night to go along with each other. In fact, my Sunday morning is in one vein. I'm working usually through a series, and Sunday night I have some different ways I develop those messages. But sometimes, like today, they kind of work together. We'll give the Lord the credit for that. And tonight probably is a good finisher of this morning message, or a good completion of the thought. And so we're going to talk about this evening is this: how our flesh fails us. How our flesh fails us. And we're going to look together, hopefully, the Lord speaking to our hearts from Galatians 3. So let's pray together. Father, I would pray that you would bless the preach of your word. The Bible tells us to the world this is foolish, and to us who know anything about the world, Lord, we hardly say amen. This is a foolish thing to the world. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of effort. It's a mental crutch. All the different ways we could say that or repeat what the world says. But for us, Lord, who are your people, we find this the nourishment, medicine, the needed thing that we have to have. So, Lord, we're thankful that we have a place. We're thankful we have the Word of God. And we're thankful, Lord, that we still in this country have the freedom to do this. Pray now that you bless tonight this service. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Biblical salvation, which we try to explain and preach about and tell people about. Biblical salvation, now listen to this statement carefully. Biblical salvation is not just or more than or is not sufficient to say, okay? So biblical salvation is not just saying salvation in Christ. That's typically what we say, but that's not all that we mean. We say it that way because I think we understand all that we mean, but we just say salvation in Christ. Really, if we were to give a more complete statement, it would be like this. Biblical salvation is in Christ alone. That word alone is very important to be there. We're not adding Christ to a list of things. We're eliminating the list, and it's Christ alone that is salvation. We're not adding Christ to works. We're not saying Christ added to your baptism, Christ added to your traditions, Christ added to your good works, Christ added to whatever. It's not Christ added to, because if you're adding Christ to something, you don't have salvation. It's Christ and Christ alone. Jesus, the Bible is clear, Jesus is the way, the only way, and the whole way. He's not part of the way, He's the whole way, and He's the only way. To add anything to salvation is not to have salvation. I think the Bible is very clear about that. Now, unfortunately, just like in Paul's day, it is true in our day that there are false teachers about salvation. Those who are adding works or adding something to salvation. Now, Paul had to fight against these false teachers in his day, and we refer to them as Judaizers, and primarily what they did is, these were people who added the law to salvation. Can I tell you that is the same problem we have today, people adding the law to salvation. And we don't call them Judaizers. Now watch, the primary group of that, Catholics. They're adding law, adding good works, adding sacraments to what the teaching of salvation is. Someone asked me recently, and it's not that the message isn't to attack Catholics, but I want to be clear. You know, I like what Martin Luther said, the Martin Luther of the Reformation. He said this, and someone repeated it, and the person repeated it got a lot of flack, but he was simply repeating Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, "I used to think that the Pope was the vicar of Christ. Now I believe he's the vicar of hell." I am not in any way supportive of the Catholic Church. They're not of a like mind. They're not of like faith. The Catholic Church is teaching a false salvation. And if your hope is in a Catholic teaching, then you have a wrong hope and you don't have biblical salvation. And so you cannot add works to salvation. So the false teachers in Paul's day, we have false teachers in our day, and we have to stand against it. God offers grace that is free and that cannot be earned. Ephesians 2 is very clear about that. Now, the reason that we have to be very clear about what salvation is, because everything after salvation is built on a clear teaching of salvation. If we're unclear about biblical salvation, we'll never understand biblical sanctification. Because everything that we understand about sanctification is built on the truth of salvation. And this is what Paul's argument here is in Galatians 3. So we understand the role of grace in salvation. Then we understand the role of grace in sanctification. So just like the role of grace is essential in our salvation. Let me ask you, because I'm doing a lot of talking and you're doing a lot of staring, so let me ask you. Is grace important when it comes to salvation? Can you have biblical salvation without grace? No, you cannot. It's grace and grace alone. That's what we're saved by grace through faith, putting our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash us of our sins. So understanding the essential role of grace in our salvation is important because that helps us understand the essential role of grace in our sanctification. This is Paul's argument here in our verses. Let's go back to Galatians 3. Look with me again. We'll pick it up in verse 2 and then again read verse 3. "This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit." Now, let me just stop there. How do we receive the Spirit? Do we get in a room, turn the lights off, light some candles, and go, "Oh, come Spirit, oh, come"? Is that how we receive the Spirit? When did you receive the Holy Spirit of God? At salvation. At the very moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit moved in. And He is our down payment, our earnest, He's our security, He's the guarantee of our eventual fulfillment of that salvation in heaven. So, when did we receive the Spirit of God? At when? Salvation, at the very moment of salvation. Is it a secondary thing? Do you get saved and then get the Spirit? No, you got the Spirit at the moment of salvation. So, Paul says, "This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit," that's talking about our salvation, "by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith." So let me ask you, how did you get saved? How did you get the Spirit? Was it a matter of grace, or was it a matter of works? Grace. I hear one voice. People are looking at me like, "I'm still thinking." So let's, okay, I'll give you a moment to think about it. Okay, let's ask the question again. At the moment of salvation, you receive what? The Holy Spirit. I know, I tricked your question. I tricked you, didn't I? So at the moment of salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. And that was by grace, not by works. So this is Paul's argument. You receive the Spirit at salvation by grace. Then he asked the second thing in verse number 3, "Are you so foolish?" Now, some people get mad at preachers when they say, like, "Why are those bunch of idiots preaching on works? Oh, preacher, you shouldn't talk like that." Well, look what Paul says here. "Are you so foolish?" He's using pretty strong words here. "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit." When did we begin in the Spirit? At salvation. That's the beginning point. "Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made complete
perfect? Are you sanctified? Are you developed as a believer? Whatever phrase you want to describe that, are you now made perfect by the flesh? If this is what started us, if this is how we began, why do we think all of a sudden we chuck that and now it's by the flesh? If the flesh cannot save you, how can the flesh ever sanctify you? That's Paul's argument. He basically saying is, you're stupid if you think that. That's not what happened. You began in the Spirit, and you're going to be made perfect by the Spirit. This is Paul's argument to the Galatians. So just like the flesh, now watch this statement. Just like the flesh will fail to save a lost person, so too will it fail to sanctify a saved person. The flesh cannot save a lost person, and the flesh cannot sanctify a saved person. It is through grace that God's Spirit saves us. Now watch. And it is through grace that God's Spirit sanctifies us. Now people say, well then, I guess I don't got to do anything. I'll just lay back and let it happen. Is that how you got saved? Did you have to do anything? I'm not talking about earning it. But was there something on your side of this equation that allowed salvation to happen? Did you not have to do what the Bible said? What the Bible said, you had to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to God's grace and sanctification, there are some things that He requires us, that as He works through us, so this grace sanctifies us. So there is some biblical requirement to follow. It's not a work, but it's a fulfilling of the requirement. So it is through grace that God's Spirit saves us, and it's through grace that God's Spirit sanctifies us. But let's go back now again to Galatians 3. Because we're going to add one more thing to build upon in our application part. Because he says this in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That word flesh is used multiple times in the Bible, and sometimes when it's used as the word carnal. It's the exact same word, sometimes translated flesh, sometimes carnal, and it means the same thing. It means in the flesh. Carn is flesh. Carnal, fleshly. So he's saying the same thing. We could say it this way without any hurt to Scripture. Are you now made perfect by carnality, by living in the flesh, by operating in the flesh, by doing it in the flesh? No, that is not what completes your salvation. That's not what sanctifies you. So now the argument is this. If it is through grace that saves us and grace that sanctifies us, then why are we all not complete in Christ? Is everyone complete in Christ? No. Why? Well, I would tell you this. The same reason we're not all, I'll use the word sanctified, complete, developed in Christ, is the same reason that some people are not saved. Because you're trying to do it in the flesh. You're trying to be like Jesus in your flesh. You're trying to use your flesh to be like Jesus, and it never works. You know what you know what God calls believers who are trying to live the Christian life in the flesh? Carnal. Doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're doing it in the flesh. It could mean bad, because there could be some bad things happening, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're bad. It means you're doing it in the flesh. You're not evil. You're not wicked necessarily. You're just trying to live your Christian life in your own works. And Paul says, it didn't work for you at salvation. Why do you think it's going to work for you at sanctification? We have to do it in the Spirit. If we do it in the Spirit, that's called being spiritual. If we're doing it in the flesh, that's called being carnal. So we're going to look at that difference between spiritual and carnal, spiritual and flesh. And we're going to see how doing it in the flesh, that's the problem. That's what fails us. So we're going to look at it in a process, a kind of a process thinking as we go through the message. And hopefully understand and maybe encourage us to do it in the Spirit. I'll give you three thoughts tonight. Here's the first thought. Go back with us again. We're kind of just zeroing in on those two verses again. We'll look at some other verses in the text as well. But these two verses again. Just only would I learn of you, receive you by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the flesh, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? So number one is this. Spiritual and carnal believers have the same beginning. Whether or not you're living in the Spirit or living in the flesh, we all started the same way. We started in the Spirit. We started by putting our faith in Christ. Everyone who has a beginning in the Christian life
has the same beginning. If you, tonight, if we were to sit down, two people in this room, any two people, and talked about how they began in the Christian life, they both are biblically saved, they both had the same beginning, and that is they put their faith in Christ. Somehow, through some series of events, the Lord began working in your heart, whether you're younger or older, whether it was through a church type of situation, maybe through preaching, or whether it's through a family or a friend, or maybe you're getting ready to run a marathon and someone's holding a sign up, and whatever the events were, there are different events that God is working. Maybe you went through a tragedy and all of a sudden you're more sensitive to eternal things. Somehow God began working your life, pulling you to Himself, and you began responding by your free will, positive towards those responses. God gave you more light. Eventually the gospel came to you and you put your faith in Christ. It's always a combination of free will and the sovereignty of God. They always work together. And so, God sovereignly began working in your life, and by your free will, you made a choice to put your faith in Christ. Every person who's saved tonight, that's what you went through. Your events, how it happened, may be unique, but the thing, as far as putting your faith in Christ, that's not unique. You may have done it in a church, you may have done it in your house, you may have done it on a corner somewhere, you may have done it in the backyard somewhere, you may have done it on a basketball court, I think, Dale, is that what you said, a basketball court, or you were playing basketball at the time, or something about basketball. You're watching basketball, you're holding a basketball, you were spiking, no, what's that called? Dunking a basketball, yes! More. Okay. Something about a basketball, and he got saved. I don't know his excuse for all the details. Let me tell you this. But he got saved because you put his faith in Christ. And you got saved because you put your faith in Christ. Whatever the events are that led you to that point. So we all had the same beginning. We began in the Spirit. Everyone who has a beginning in the Christian life has the same beginning in the Spirit. When you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerated your spirit, and you became a child of God. At the point of salvation, we are all on level ground there. Let's just look at some verses. Some of this is review, some of it may be new to you, but it's important that we understand this. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. One of the things that amazes me, I've been listening to some, goobers. We'll use that. That's a nice word. I was listening to some goobers, and some of the things they come up with, and I'm thinking, how do people sit there and believe that stuff? Because no one ever shows them really what the truth is. That's must be how, because some of the things they say are so off the wall. But John 3, look at verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter to the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh," that's this body here, is flesh, "but that which is born of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "is spirit." The Holy Spirit regenerates our spirit within us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. So what I'm trying to emphasize to you is whoever we are, whatever group we are together as born-again believers, we all started the same way. Look at verse 17, 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 17, which is a very good verse. Not the verse I want, though. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. Maybe we ought to talk about Dale and his basketball skills again. Because I actually did better than that than finding this verse that I miswrote down. Okay, like I said, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll get back to you the other verse. I'm not sure what verse I was referencing when I typed that in. Ephesians chapter 1, which makes me now always scared about the next verse. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." This is what happened when you got saved. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You didn't get saved because you put your faith in a church or a person, I'm talking about a human being. You got saved because of the word of truth, the gospel. "In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of His glory." And we talked about that Holy Spirit coming in and being that down payment. So when we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerated our spirit and we became the child of God. That is true about every single believer. There is no difference. Now watch this. There is no difference in what anyone received at the moment they placed their faith in Christ.
when you put your faith in Christ, at that moment you receive what every other born-again person received. You received the Holy Spirit, you were adopted, you were justified, you were redeemed. All of these things happen to every believer. You didn't get part of it, or some of you got all, you got as much salvation as I got. You got as much salvation as D.L. Moody got. You got as much salvation as the Apostle Paul got. You got it all when you got saved. You got the Holy Spirit completely. You were born again. Look with me in Romans chapter 10. And I'm trying to, again, drive home this point. Because we all started, whether you're spiritual or carnal, we all started the same way, born again of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 10, look with me in verse number 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is the truth. This is the truth of the gospel. For the heart man believes in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever, anyone believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the Jew and the Greek, the difference there doesn't strike us as much, but for them it is very clear. If you're a Jewish person, you are of the heritage of Abraham, or you're a Greek and you have no relationship to Abraham, it does not matter your lineage, it does not matter your background. All you come to Jesus Christ and you are equally saved. It doesn't matter if you speak English or not. It doesn't matter if you're American or not. None of that matters. All that matters, you put your faith in Christ, you are born again as much as anyone else is. Go with me to Romans 3. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. I have other verses, but we'll just stop there. But I think you get the idea that we all started the same way. We all got the same thing at salvation. Here's why I'm saying all that. Spiritual believers are not spiritual because they got something better or different than you got. Some people, well, you know, if I had what you had, I'd be spiritual too. You got what they have. You got as much as they have. Spirituality is not based on a different beginning because we all have the same beginning. Every one of us got what everyone else got at salvation. Which means every single believer has that potential, that opportunity to be a spiritual disciple of Jesus Christ. No one has an excuse by looking backwards and talking about, well, you gotta understand how I grew up, you gotta understand where I'm from, you gotta understand my mom and dad. You were gloriously born again when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you have all of the potential and opportunity to be a spiritual believer. All of us got the same thing when we put our faith in Christ. So, spiritual and carnal believers have the same beginning. Let me show you the second thing. Go back again to chapter 3. And look with me at verse 3. Galatians 3, verse 3. Back to our text. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Who's begun in the Spirit? Every saved person began in the Spirit. Then here's the question. Are you now made complete by the flesh? So, number two is this. Spiritual and carnal believers have the same challenge, to be made perfect, to be complete in Christ. Every person who's born again has the same challenge. And that is, no one ever got saved and automatically, boom, they were immediately all they should be in Christ. Every born again person has the same challenge, which is to develop themselves, or to be developed, I don't want it to look like a work of the flesh, to be developed by the Spirit into the image of Christ. Each of us has that same challenge. The challenge that every believer received after salvation is to grow and develop as a disciple of Jesus. You know what we call that? Sanctification. We're being separated from what we were and being now brought into what we should be. We are putting off the old
and putting on the new. We're putting away the things of the flesh that we were involved in and now trying to do the things of the Spirit which God is calling us to do. So the challenge of every believer that every believer received after salvation is to grow and develop as a disciple. So spiritual and carnal believers have the same challenge. It's not like you can't say, well, you know, the reason I'm carnal is because God hasn't given me any job. He hasn't worked in my life. God has given each of us the same challenge to be developed into the image of Christ. Now watch. Regardless of whatever happened, let me slow down. I want you to think about this. I understand that there are some great hardships that people have gone through in life. And sometimes as kids, they've been mistreated and abused. And in no way am I making light of that or just brushing aside. But we cannot spend our lives never being what we should be because all we do is talk about what happened in the past. There has to come a time when we make a decision that I have one life and I got to do something for Jesus. Regardless of whatever happened before you got saved or has happened after you got saved. Well, you know, that's how I started. Boy, I was excited for Jesus, and then I got in this church, and boy, this hurt me, and this person hurt me, and this person let me down, and this didn't turn out right, and they said this, and it wasn't right, and they mistreated me here, and they misquoted me here, and I that's my problem. No, that's not your problem. Your problem is you're living in the flesh. That's your problem. Regardless of whatever happened before you got saved, or has happened after you got saved, you are supposed to be growing as a believer. If I or any other preacher has ever disappointed you, you do not have an excuse to be carnal. You're supposed to be growing as a believer. And the truth is, and I did not hear Dr. Thompson say this, but I've heard several people quote him, and it's a great quote. And I probably won't get it perfect, but it goes something like this. Every hero I have has feet of clay. No matter who you're looking to, they're going to disappoint you in some way. And if they disappoint you to the point where you're not growing as a believer and you're walking away from the things of God, that's not on them, that's on you. You're worshiping man and not God. I love Brother Howes. Brother Howes is not perfect. I don't find a great reason to sit here and talk about all the things I disagree or did not like or he maybe shouldn't have done. He taught me a lot of things. He was my pastor for 8 years. I developed as a believer under his ministry, but I did not worship Brother Howes. I worshiped the Lord Jesus. And he has never done me wrong. So regardless of whatever happened before you got saved or has happened after you got saved, you are supposed to be growing as a believer. Look with me in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, look with me in verse 12. Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, complete, matured. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Little tongue teaser there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Can I tell you, maybe this year we ought to just forget about 2020. It was what it was. Some people did well, some people didn't do very well. Some people thrived, some people barely survived, but it was what it was. It's time to press forward. Moving on. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what we're talking about. This is our calling. This is our challenge. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me in verse 17. Now the reason I share the scripture, because the Word of God has a way, the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has a way of just really driving home the point better than what any man can say. And I want you to see it from the scripture. So Ephesians chapter 4, look with me in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. In other words, don't be like them. They're lost. who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the challenge. Every believer has this challenge. So if you're tonight, if you're spiritual, this is your challenge, to be conformed to the image of Christ. If you're carnal, this is your challenge, to be conformed into the image of Christ. Now, we know that life is not simple. And I'm not trying to tell you life is simple. Life is complicated. It's full of complications. Part of the complications is us. We complicate our lives, sometimes unnecessarily. Life is full of complications. Other people sometimes complicate it for us. Life is full of complications. It is not simple. But the challenge of the Christian life is, and that challenge is to be like Jesus. He makes it very simple. Put off the old, put on the new. This is the simplicity that is in Christ. In all of the complications of life, the simplicity of the Christian life is live like Jesus, live for Jesus. And whatever's going on in your life, live like Jesus, live for Jesus. That means this, that if we all be, now, if spiritual and carnal believers have the same beginning, and spiritual and carnal believers have the same challenge, that would mean this, that all believers, all true born-again people, should be then on the same side working towards the same goal. We're not ever going to see everything the same. I understand that. You know, some people, and I cannot fathom, you said this morning about being mayor of different places, and you said mayor of Elyria, and I said to my wife, I'd rather be mayor of Morgantown. Why? Because it's in West Virginia. Now, some people, when we talk about West Virginia, they're like, it's just like, who would want to live there? My answer is this, who would not? It's almost heaven. It's almost heaven. We're that close to it. Now, I have fond memories of growing up there. I have some not so fond, but mostly fond memories growing up there. We don't always have to agree on what we think is the perfect place to live. We don't have to agree on what's the perfect car to drive, what's the perfect way to tie a tie, what's the perfect way to lay carpet. We don't have to agree on everything, but we should be in agreement of this, that we know Christ as Savior, and we want to be more like Him. This is what should bind our hearts together. And therefore, we should be helping and encouraging each other, not fighting and devouring each other. So spiritual and carnal believers have the same beginning. Spiritual and carnal believers have the same challenge. But we're not the same. That brings us to number three. Go back with me to chapter 3 of Galatians, because if so far, then there's no difference between spiritual and carnal believers. But there is a difference. So where is the difference? Back to Galatians chapter 3. So that's the issue that Paul is making, that there is a difference here. This only what I learn of you, I'm back at Galatians 3, verse 2. This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So there are some that are trying to do this challenge by the flesh. That's now beginning to make the difference. Look with me, same still in Galatians. Go to chapter 5. Look with me in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now remember, the argument back in chapter 3 is, can you, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Can the flesh do this? No, because the flesh actually fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit is what makes us spiritual. So the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. It's like putting two same pole magnets together. They push against each other. They won't go together. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. What are the things that we're supposed to do? Being conformed to the image of Christ. It's not going to work if you're trying to do it in the flesh, because it's working against the Spirit. Let me show you another verse. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look with me in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, if that's your mindset on the flesh, you're going to do the things of the flesh. If your mindset's the Spirit, you're going to do the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice two different mindsets here. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that brings us to our third. So spiritual and carnal believers have the same beginning. Spiritual and carnal believers have the same challenge. Number three, spiritual and carnal believers have a different focus. This is what makes the difference. One is spiritually minded, thinking about the things of the Spirit. One is carnally minded, thinking about the things of the flesh. The difference between spiritual and carnal believers, now watch, is not what the Spirit did in you at salvation. That's not the difference. But what you are allowing the Spirit to do in you after salvation. So it's not the difference at salvation, it's the difference after salvation. You know, when you got saved, you got all of God that you're ever going to get. You got it all. He moved in. He didn't just stick his leg into your body and say, well, let me test the water. No, he moved in. He came all the way in. You got all of the Spirit. Now, if you're spiritual tonight, you got all of the Holy Spirit. If you're carnal tonight, you got all of the Holy Spirit. We all began the same way. But the question is, does he have all of you? That's the difference. I don't know if someone showed this to me or maybe the Lord just kind of gave me this thought. But years ago, I had this thought about this because there are those who say, you know, you got to get more of the Spirit. You don't need more of the Spirit. Spirit needs more of you. Now, I understand there's blessings of God. There's the power of God. These are the outpourings of God. But you have all the Holy Spirit. You got him at salvation. So if you think of my hand as the Holy Spirit, and you think about this as your body, when you got saved, all of the Holy Spirit entered your body. All of my hand is in this glove. But you notice this? Most of this glove is not being controlled by me. It's just kind of doing whatever it wants at the moment. Which is carnal believers. The Holy Spirit's in them, but they're just kind of living how they want. You know what spiritual believers are? When the Holy Spirit moves into all the corners of your life and has full control. That is a spiritual believer. This is a carnal believer. This also looks like Michael Jackson. This is a carnal believer. This is a spiritual believer. The difference isn't how much Holy Spirit you have. The difference is how much of the Holy Spirit is controlling you. That's the difference. And when we try to use our flesh to develop ourselves as believers, when we try to use the flesh to grow as believers, we are carnal believers. That's what Paul is saying. You cannot. If you began in the Spirit and now you're going to be perfect in the flesh, no, that's not the way it works. So if every believer has the same beginning with the same goal, then the only difference is what we are allowing to control us after salvation, our flesh or the Spirit. Now, here, I think, I'll give you some ideas. It's not complete, but it'll at least get us thinking. Here's why we're tempted to live by the flesh. Because the answer is like, duh, okay, let's get the Holy Spirit, all of us. But how come we don't do that? Maybe you see it differently, but here's how I see it. I think a good number of believers are living carnally. Why would I say that? I'll stop there. That's why I think we're living carnally. Now, not everyone who's in church on a Sunday night is spiritual, but I believe everyone who's spiritual is on church Sunday night. Because why? We want the things of God. You're not going to develop in Christ by sitting at home doing this. That's not going to develop you. You know what develops us as believers? The Holy Spirit working through His Word. So why are we tempted to live by the flesh? I'm going to give you some ideas that I think I see in my own life, probably it's in other people's lives. One, it's comfortable. The flesh is comfortable. It comes naturally, and we already do it. I don't have to do anything to be in the flesh. I just have to do what I normally do, which is do whatever I want to do. It's comfortable. Carnal people often say things like this, oh, that's just the way I am. And that's the problem. That's the way you are. But that's not how you're supposed to be. It's comfortable. If you got saved later in life, you spent all your life living by the flesh. The Holy Spirit wasn't inside of you. And so the comfortable thing is to do what you've always done. Think the way you always thought, talk the way you always talk, act the way you always act, because that is who you are. But that's not who we want to be. I don't want to be Dennis Mitchell White Sr. I want to be like Jesus. But it's more comfortable being Dennis Mitchell White Sr. So, it's comfortable. So we live in the flesh. Our flesh is comfortable. It is, now watch this, it is controllable. I can control. And we love control. Yielding to the Spirit means giving the Spirit control over our blank. Fill it in. Our decisions, our relationships, our finances, our schedule, our feelings, our emotions. I am glad that there's a Holy Spirit inside of me that tempers who I am. Because I was changing the, this is kind of crass, but anyways, I was changing the toilet seat at our house. It's a simple procedure. It's as simple as can be. But this one silly thing did not want to do what I wanted to do. I didn't cuss. I didn't take the hammer and bust it in pieces. But man, I was just saying, you stupid thing. Will you do what you're supposed to do? I just want to rip you off of this toilet. What is your problem? You know, I'll be honest. In my flesh, I can see why people just walk up the shotgun, boom, blow the whole toilet up. I'll taught you a lesson. Okay, I can understand the feeling of that, but that's kind of stupid. Then I'm like, yeah, now I got to replace the whole toilet. That didn't really work out too well. But there's a Holy Spirit inside of us who begins saying, okay, really, you're arguing with a toilet? Yeah. Well, actually, it's my wife. She was saying it too. What are you arguing about? Never mind. You know, there's a Holy Spirit inside of us that we can yield to, that can begin controlling us. That's walking in the Spirit. Now, our flesh we can control. But when we are walking in the Spirit, we have to yield that control to the Lord. I can't say what I want to say to that person. I can't treat them the way I want to treat them. I can't live the way I want to live. I must turn that over to the Lord and let Him control me. And that's not always what we want to do. So it's comfortable to live in the flesh. It's controllable to live in the flesh. Now watch this. It's changeable. And by that, I mean we can compromise and change with the world without having any fusses with them. We can just kind of go along with them. We'd say, well, you know, a lot of people, we say this about politicians, but they're just like us. They're like people, I believe. Yep, that's what I believe. Oh, no, you guys don't believe? Oh, no, now I believe this over here. You remember this is a few years ago, we'll say 15 years ago. Everyone in our country, the vast majority, would have stood up and said, gay marriage is absolutely, positively wrong. We were passing state amendments to the Constitution, different states passing amendments to their Constitution, banning gay marriage. That is not the case anymore. Now the majority is like, oh yeah, whatever. You know, why are people that way? Because that's the flesh. They just, you know, you're against it, well I'm against it. Oh, you're for it, well I'm for it now. And that's the flesh. It's changeable. We can just go with the flow so we can just not have to be fussing with people. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He never compromises. And if we're compromising, that means we're not spiritual. So the Holy Spirit never compromises. He always stays true to the Word of God. We're tempted to live in the flesh. Why? It's comfortable. It's controllable. It's changeable. But that's not how it is with the Spirit. The Spirit makes us uncomfortable. We have to do things that doesn't always come natural. It's not controllable. We have to yield that control to Him. And he's not changeable. He doesn't compromise. He stays true to God's word. So, I would tell you tonight, if we live in the flesh will fail us in our quest to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. It will not work. We will not be a true disciple of Jesus Christ if we're walking in the flesh. It will fail us. Just like the flesh will fail to save you, the flesh will fail to sanctify you. The flesh only focuses on the outward change. It's the Holy Spirit that focuses on the inward, that eventually becomes an outward, but He focuses on the inward. It's the flesh that seeks credit for its accomplishment. Because of our pride, we want the pat on the back, we want the acknowledgement. The flesh always seeks credit. The Spirit seeks to glorify God in all things. The flesh rejects suffering and sacrifice, whereas the Spirit accepts suffering as a part of living for Jesus. This is what develops us. We have an inward change. That's of the Spirit, not of the flesh. The flesh is outward. We start seeking to glorify God in all things. That's of the Spirit. The flesh wants credit. It wants acknowledgement. It wants because of our pride, we want people to talk about us and uplift us and to brag on us. We want to be the center of the attention always. The Spirit says suffering for Jesus is a good thing. It's a way we can glorify Him, we can associate with Him, we can be a part of what He's doing. We are willing to suffer. That's what the Spirit tells us, suffer for Jesus. The flesh rejects suffering, rejects sacrifice. The flesh will never make us what God wants us to be. But yet the Spirit will mold us into the image of Christ. So I tell you tonight, every believer must choose whether to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Who will control you? What will be your focus? So the question tonight is, what are we going to do? Are we going to be like the foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, think we're going to be perfected in the flesh? Or are we going to be like what He told us to do? You began in the Spirit, let's continue in the Spirit. It should be the heart of every believer who really wants to be conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, I want to walk in Your Spirit. I want to give You control of my life. I want to surrender to Your will in all things. I want to be all that You want me to be. I did not begin in the flesh. I don't want to try to be complete in the flesh. You began me through grace at salvation. You finish me, complete me by grace through sanctification. That should be the heart of each believer tonight.